This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're excited today to be joined by David Kelly. We'll talk to David about top priorities, technology, and so forth. We'll also go ask him a question or two about the coronavirus situation because it's on everybody's minds. David, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. My name is David Kelly. I am the Director of Physician Revenue Cycle for Premier Health Partners in Dayton, Ohio, and have been here for about 6 months and previously was at a small community hospital running the end-to-end revenue cycle and managed care operations for them.
Well, thank you. Can you talk about, I know it's a weird time right now, but so your top priorities at the moment, is it just to keep the revenue cycle working well? Are there specific priorities, things that are going on impacted by the COVID-19 situation or otherwise? What are sort of the top priorities right now for somebody in your position?
Sure, that's a great question. And obviously, the responses to what's your top priorities a week ago versus even today, I mean, the pace, the rapidity of things evolving right now is just up there. So, you know, today, some of my number one priorities are thinking about business continuity. If we have to send everybody to remote work and everybody's not already remote work, what does that look like? If we have people who, if daycare is closed, Ohio has been fairly assertive and progressive in trying to stay ahead of social distancing, but daycares haven't closed yet. So let's say they do tomorrow. How much of my workforce is going to call in? And what do we do in the response to that? Now, a lot of that's going to come from our HR group, but in terms of keeping the lights on, that's going to be on me and my team's shoulders to try to figure that out. So that's a key priority. Another item is just everybody's been slowly moving towards telehealth, but you have to put that on a treadmill and ramp it up to 11, right? Because if you're not prepared, or maybe some of your locations currently don't meet the CMS guidelines, so you haven't been doing it, and now tomorrow you want to do it. What's the achievability of that? If there's a big EMR build, can you actually even do that in the time span that you need to, or that would be meaningful to help your organization? And if not, what's the guidance that you can give to your clinical operations really to just, hey, we'll figure out the billing later. You guys take care of the patients and allow the health system to really just do what they need to be doing, which is taking care of patients.
No, 100%. When you see this kind of crises, there has to be some bright spots that you're starting to see. So tell us about anything you see that sort of feels like it's going okay. Like you something that's going okay. People pulling together. Give me something positive.
Sure. I think we could all use that. I think that there's a couple different things I see, some of which are more immediate in my personal halo or personal network and in the ring of sort of social media. And I'm actually going to talk about the social media first. There are a lot of folks that have channels on social media, ZDog, MD, Dr. Mike, some of these folks, heck, even I saw Dr. Drew on TV the other day, encouraging people like, we need to not be panicking here. We need to have reasonable, thoughtful responses. And that may include some severe or social distancing measures, but we also need to not panic. And so those folks really, I'm feeling like their voice is becoming stronger, which is good because we need the not the hype of the sort of clickbait type of stuff going on. And the second thing then is inside of my organization, I'm really proud of the operational folks coming together. This is, I'm not as involved with this just because I'm not clinical, but figuring out that approach, what's going to work, how do we respond, how do we manage our patients, because we still have sick patients, right? Your normal patient today that has diabetes that we need to get under control or things like that, that is a patient that we still need to manage despite, you know, the current situation. So the group coming together and try to get that unified voice out there that people can, inside of our organization can listen to and help them manage their office, their practice, their team, because, you know, healthcare workers are great folks, but they're people too, right? They're nervous, they're anxious as well. So getting that unified voice is really great.
Well, I think that is just actually fantastic, and I love to hear those thoughts on what's going well. Give me an example of someone on your team, you don't have to call them up by name, that you've been impressed with their responsiveness so far in this crisis, that you're just sort of pleased with, my God, here's another person just stepping up, doing what they're supposed to do. Just a couple examples of that, of what you see in people.
Sure. I mean, so in my past life, when I had both hospital and physician operations, and it was a smaller hospital, small hospitals, you have to wear a lot of hats, right? And so I had the opportunity through that to be on, you know, like our disaster team and things like that. And I don't know, like I said, I'm newer here and I don't want to speak for my organization. In fact, I can't speak for my organization, but I don't think that we've got the significance of sort of the disaster drills that you do in the physician realm as much as the hospital realm a lot of times. And so we have some leaders in our organization right now in the physician portion of Premier that are doing a great job of like, here's what we need to do, here's when we need to do it, here's how we need to communicate, setting up, you know, a command center, doing some of these things. They're bringing some of that hospital training to the table and really helping to get everybody lined up, you know, rowing together, swimming in the same direction, whatever you want to call it. That they're bringing that training to the table. And I think that's one of the great things. And one of the things I'd like to put a plug in for folks out there in healthcare or any other industry right now, that if you're in a smaller business that maybe doesn't have a big disaster team, FEMA has stuff online for free. I had the opportunity to go through it. That's some web training. It's a little bit, you know, after the fact now, but on how you can set up some responses to quote disasters and obviously a major quarantine or something like that is going to be part of that. That is available online.
Take me to a different area. You're at this crazy intersection, aside from the COVID-19, of sort of revenue cycle, people and technology. This technology has become so important to all of this. Talk to me a little bit about what technology is working. What do you love in the technology that you work with? What's great that's out there?
Sure. So in terms of this specific incident, obviously we're all relying more heavily on Microsoft Teams all of a sudden. You know, we've had it, we've done meetings. We use it as an ongoing tool, transitioning away from Skype. But it's really stepping up the last week or so. More and more things are moving to remote capabilities. I'm sure you're seeing that with other individuals that you talk to, and that's a pretty good tool. It does seem to be more advanced than Skype. It's a recent transition for us, so I like that. And anybody's WebEx tool is going to have good capabilities. I shouldn't say WebEx, I guess, because that's a brand name. But anyway, you know. And but in terms of the revenue cycle space more broadly, I continue to, you know, big picture, moving back, stepping away from COVID-19, talking about rev cycle more broadly, I continue to feel that AI and RPA are sort of the future of our space in this industry. We're a manual work intensive organization or industry, and we need to get away from that manual work. A lot of it is moving numbers on a page, moving stuff between spreadsheets or between data systems, and AI can help with that. So I think that is a big component of where we're headed, or at least where we need to head long term. Obviously, they're probably putting the brakes on some of that right now across companies, but hopefully we can pick that back up whenever we get behind this and move ahead.
No, that's fantastic. And what technology to you, and of course without naming brand names at all, In the last several years, it's been disappointing to you. You expected it to be great. You had great hopes for it and turned out to be nothing as good as you maybe hoped for.
Well, one that I didn't dive too deep into that everybody a couple years ago, I remember even at your conference was talking about, and I think is maybe it's just a timing thing or maybe it was a hype, I don't know, but it's a lot around blockchain. And it's like the blockchain is going to cure healthcare. And the implication was tomorrow. It's going to cure healthcare industry tomorrow. It's going to fix your problems tomorrow. And I think that's the one that's fallen sort of short. And there's some missteps in AI as well, don't get me wrong. But blockchain's the one that maybe there's that future potential long term. I don't know enough about it, honestly, to say whether it's going to achieve what people want it to achieve long term, that's going to quote fix things. But that was one that it just seemed like there was a strong hype a couple years ago, and just sort of like, where is it now? Whereas AI has, again, had some missteps, but it does seem to be taken off. So blockchain is the one that I would say in general.
Fascinating. So AI moving in the right direction and leaps and bounds, blockchain not nearly as much. So I think a fascinating sort of perspective, and we appreciate it greatly, David. What else is exciting to you today? Is the world just so crazy it's hard to be excited about anything else? Or when you see past this, what sort of leads you? I mean, you've been a great speaker. You're a great leader. You're a very hands-on, very friendly, smart, direct person. Where do you see things a year from now? What excites you about the future?
Well, I think that's a good question, and I'll try to parse this in terms of, you know, a lot of things are on pause right now, but a lot of things in result of the mandates, I guess you could say, whether literal government mandates or just the mandates of the situation that are accelerated during a time like this, have really interesting outcomes. And again, I need to be careful. I don't want anybody to listen and think, oh, he's speaking for Premier. I'm David speaking for David here. But I think that it's going to be really fascinating, right? Remote work, for example. We've been headed towards remote work for about a decade in the workplace, maybe a little bit more. And now in a month, 2 months, it's like, get it done right now. Get everybody working home right now, right? Well, when you're done then, are people going to want to come back to the office? Education. When you look at education, there's been a lot of move, particularly in post-secondary schools, colleges, universities, towards online schools, right? And now all of a sudden, the major universities, the bricks and mortar universities are like, hey, everybody's online through the end of the semester. Bam, you know, today. So that's really fascinating to me to see. Those are two examples. There's a lot of other examples that just, hey, get this stuff done today that we were already on a trajectory. Then what, right? When we're done next fall, are kids going to want to go to campus? Why are parents going to want to pay for that? Just as an example, what does that mean for our society? I think there could be some really cool things that emerge, you know, once we all make it through this and bounce back a bit.
100%. And I think that's exactly right. People were talking about that just the other day. People that have moved towards working from home, are they really going to want to ever move out of working from home now? Are they ever going to want to do that? It's a fascinating, fascinating perspective. I mean, 100%. That's so interesting. Thank you very, very much. And David, if you want to learn more about you, more about what you do, how can they learn more about you? Can they follow you on LinkedIn? Is there other places they can follow you?
Sure. LinkedIn is the primary place. I'm just recently started publishing articles. I've got one out there. I'm hoping to do some more, but mainly it's me just sharing stuff I think is interesting in the realm of rev cycle leadership, and AI and cybernetics are kind of a little passion area of mine. And it's David Kelly, MHSA on LinkedIn. And you can find me there. And I try to respond to everybody who sends a direct message as well. So if you want to connect more directly, I'm happy to at least try to keep up on that as well.
David, we appreciate you so much joining us. You're a terrific leader. I'm so happy for you and your new position at Premier Health, great, great organization. And I know you left a great organization. So congratulations on your professional career. And I thank you so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts with us today. We appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Thanks,
very,
Scott.
Very much.
I really appreciate the opportunity.